Hello, everyone. This is Jim from Skype of Cthulhu. My apologies for the shocking dearth of content lately. The good news is that it has not been because we are not playing. As it happens, we are. The bad news, unfortunately, is that much of that content, it will be quite a while before we can actually release. We did two sessions of the 7th edition playtest, which I'm sure you've heard about many, many places around the web. As well as another playtest for a forthcoming scenario that should show up in the Unspeakable Oath at some point. And we are currently playing through a soon-to-be-released scenario from Coming From Goodman Games, which is supposed to be published next month in November. Hopefully once it is published, then we'll be able to start releasing the audio from that. But until then, I'm afraid we're just a little light on content. In the meantime, just a couple things here to throw out at you. Randall has some Keeper's Notes from his Hellfire scenario to share with us. Those will be coming up in just a few minutes. I also have a piece of feedback I'd like to share. But first, if you're looking for something else to listen to, might I suggest one of my other podcasts, Crime City Central. I say my podcast. It's not really my podcast or not really solely my podcast. I'm just the engineer for it. Jack Calverley is the host. Magnificent Cher Eves handles all the editing. I, of course, do the audio engineering. And Tony C. Smith of Starship Sofa fame is the producer. And we also have a photographer, Darren Harmon, whose photographs and artwork you can see on the website, crimecitycentral.com. So you should check that out. And give it a listen.
What? Speak up, I can't hear you. Yes, it is me. No, I don't have a cold, thank you. It's a bad line. No, I can't do that. I told you before, we never meet. No. No, never. Of course, it will just arrive in your account. Anyway, you're wasting time. The longer you talk, the more likely they'll notice you've gone off. But you have to tell me when. In July. What use is that to me? What, the second half of July? The third week of July, a Monday. Sure? Well, I wish you had written it down. It is the 16th, then. Monday the 16th of July. And how sure are you really? What? Say that again. I didn't catch it. They're going to do it in public. In front of the whole world. Rub people's noses in it. It'll be on iTunes. And a dedicated website. They want to be caught? Do they know what will happen? What about bandwidth? They want to bring the internet down. You cannot be serious. No, 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 that's a quote. No, I'm not mocking you. They're calling it what? That's cheeky. They won't get away with that. That's just too easy to trace. Wait. I'm just writing this down. Crime City Central. That it? Crime City Central. Yes. Crime City Central, Monday 16th July. I will check it out. I promise. Yes, on a stack of Bibles. Okay, on a stack of religious texts of your choosing. Okay, or any book by Richard Dawkins. Yeah, and the .com, crimecitycentral.com, on Monday 16th July. Yes. I'm writing it down. When they will start webcasting audio. Yes, I've got it. Crime and mystery short stories. Yes, I've got the word audio. Okay, I'll read it back to you. CrimeCityCentral.com on Monday, 16th July, when they will start webcasting audio crime and mystery short stories from established authors. And yeah, and on iTunes. Hello? You still there? Hello? Hello? Oh my God.
So I have a piece of feedback that I wanted to share, just because I thought it was really a very nice little write-up. This is from Mr. David Smith. This came via Google Plus, and he says that we've been listening to Skype of Cthulhu for some time now and love the sessions that you guys put together, particularly your own Keeper sessions. We liked them so much that we revived our own Cthulhu RPG sessions from 20 years ago. Now we've got some of our old crew running sessions via Skype first, and then progressed to Tabletop Forge on Google+. Just wanted to say thanks for getting us back into what we loved when we were teenagers. So, thank you for that feedback, David. I certainly appreciate it. It's our pleasure. You know, we enjoy playing ourselves, and are always happy that other people enjoy listening to us. If anyone else has some feedback they'd like to share, there's a number of ways you can do that. You can find us, most of us individually, on either Google Plus or Facebook. There is the website, of course. You can comment on the posts. That's at Cthulhu.me. There's also a thread for Skype of Cthulhu in the Mythophonia section over at YoggSothoth.com. And our good friends at Miskatonic University Podcast. In their forum, there is a section, there's basically a thread for each episode. You can start additional threads if you want to. Ask questions. There's a fair bit of discussion going on there. It was very kind of them to do that for us. We are coming up towards actually 100 episodes. This is number 78, so we still have a little ways to go, but kind of a remarkable feat, I think, to make it to 100 episodes. So we have a few special things planned coming up. Stay tuned to the show. Stay tuned to the podcast, I should say, and we'll announce what those are. There'll be some prizes and some discussion and just a few fun little things to throw out there. Just in celebration of that milestone. We've actually managed to keep it together that long. So as I promised, to finish out this little meta episode here, here is Mr. Randall Padilla with his Keeper's Notes on Hellfire.
Hey there, listeners. This is Randall from Skype of Cthulhu. I was the keeper for Hellfire Club that we just finished. And I wanted to do something similar to what Jim did when we played the Providence Cycle, and that is to provide some keeper notes. Among the things that I want to discuss is why I decided to pick Hellfire from the amount of different scenarios that are available for Trail of Cthulhu. Needless to say, this is the first time that we ever tried Trail of Cthulhu. None of the guys, with the exception of Rob in the group, has played Trail before. So it was kind of challenging in the sense that I will need to provide kind of the guidelines of the rules while we were playing. Something I was using pretty much every single day, with the exception of the last two sessions, was the screen that Pelgrim provided for Trail of Cthulhu it's got a pretty good summary of the things that you use during the session, like the amount of stability that you lose according to different things that you face on this scenario. If you don't have it, I recommend to get it. It's got everything you need to, you know, to keep a game of Trail of Cthulhu. Of course, you will have to know the rules and read the rules and all that. But during my first sessions, that's all I needed to use. Of course, I've played Trail of Cthulhu for quite a while now with other groups. I just needed to go back to the handbook once in a while. Something that I found difficult to do while playing with the guys, because what I got is the PDF version. I don't have a printed version. So I always needed to, you know, have Skype on the computer, and I have the Trailfire scenario, of course, and I need to skip between the Hellfire scenario and the PDF of the rules, and that kind of made things difficult for me a little bit. But at the end, I think I was able to handle it, to play it with my other group, and I believe I left it at the place where we play. So that's the thing. Now, the main reason, as I was saying, that I decided to select these scenarios, because this is the second time that I'm playing it. So the innocent keeper in me thought that I was going to be able to play it in a similar way that the other group actually play it. And I say very innocent because the two games were completely different. Of course, there is a plot, there's a line that you follow as a keeper for the scenario to move forward. But the two games ended up being two different monsters. And it's something that speaks very good of a scenario, of course. Adam is basically one, if not one of my favorites, the favorite writer for me for Trail of Cthulhu. Everything he writes, I pick. I'm like one of his biggest fans. So when I got Hellfire for the first time and I played it with my local group, I decided to give it a try with the Scab of Cthulhu. I like the settings written. It is really rich. There are a lot of things that you can do and that doesn't have to be written in the scenario itself, because you are actually playing with the Hellfire Club members, right? So anything can come up out of those characters. I was not very familiar with the London environment on the Age. Probably that's something that should have improved before playing the scenario with Scab of Cthulhu. And there were a few things that I was completely unaware of, like that the war vessels during the time had different connotations. Dan kind of pointed out to me during one of the last sessions. So maybe I should have done a little bit more research. But other than that, I was in love with the setting. I was in love with the scenario. So I decided to give it a try. As Jung Hook mentioned to me, I believe it was on YSDC, he probably would have picked another scenario to start with, right, when playing Trail. And at the end of Hellfire, I think I agree with him, because you need to get a good hold of the rules before being able to enjoy a scenario that is placed in a different era, one that you are not familiar with as a keeper and as a player. So something to learn from that is that probably if you want to take your group, take them through one of two, you know, standard scenarios, like 1930s scenarios, before jumping into like a scenario like Hellfire. The scenario itself, again, when I read it, I was in love with it, so I decided, you know, that's the main reason I wanted to play it with the group. Plus, the characters provided as pre-gem were really rich in every single sense, and that's something that I knew the guys were going to be able to exploit. And that's something that Jim actually managed really well, something they've started to play with at the very beginning, while he was still playing. And it was really challenging to play these characters, but at the end they managed to do it really well, and they did it in the way that I wanted to, And by that I mean that they added a lot of color to the characters. So they were not your standard characters. As they were written, they were going to face a few challenges because the kind of the gameplay has got to be different when you have a personality to follow. And that's something that I believe Gene was trying to do, and he did it really well. So I decided this was going to be a good piece to play with the group. Other than that, I believe we face the standard challenges. One of them is that even though I've been playing for quite a while, I do not manage the rules by heart yet. So I needed to, you know, keep browsing the rules book, use the reference table because I just keep forgetting the damage table, for instance. I just can't get a real hold of it yet. So that was kind of challenging on my side. But other than that, I think it went pretty well. During this scenario, we also face a few losses. Like Rob needed to stop playing for quite a while, so he needed to drop at the very beginning of the scenario. Seth was not able to play anymore. Well, at least for now. So he needed to drop again from the scenario as well. And they did it almost at the end, pretty much. He stayed with us in the first part because we broke it in two different parts, 1 to 4 and 5 to 8 total for Hellfire sessions. Dave stayed with us in the first 4. At the end, he decided to drop for the second part because didn't feel like playing with the pre-gen character and a new system. He didn't feel like he was enjoying himself that much, right? Which is completely fair. And so he decided to stay out of the second part of the scenario and give it a try later on. As I said, that's one of the lessons learned about taking a virgin group through a Trail of Cthulhu with a scenario that is completely different to the standard era. So that's, we had a pretty high body count on this one. And moving into the scenario itself, I didn't expect the way they managed Lady Protheroe's situation, honestly. Again, this is the second time, so they kind of surprised me there completely. When they did that, they decided to bug the guys, you know, that the crown was after the apparent crime and the eruption to Lady Protheroe's house. So I wanted to have them as target of the investigation. The way things work out, I didn't have to do that much at the end, since they dropped from the middle of the scenario. Then that allowed me to manage the persecution from the crown, not in the actual play, right? So, and it ended up being really useful for the scenario itself. When they finished whatever they were doing in Bermuda and came back to England. So there's that. There's also the famous Book of Venus, who played an important role in the scenario. The way Adam put it was really creepy, and he was open to do even more things than what I use it for. Like something I tried to do in the last session with Sarah, right? Something I forgot to do that is to have her dream about being the main character in the Book of Venus. I was planning to do that on the trip to Bermuda, but I completely forgot about that when we were actually playing. So because what I wanted to do was build up the dreaming sequences until she reached Bermuda, where the influence of Yonlak was way stronger, and therefore the seed that she was carrying was going to explode. And by the way, that part of the plot is not part of the scenario, and I will go through the reason of why I included it once I go through a different session. So the Book of Venus is a really powerful tool for anyone who wants to play it. And I thought it was a really nice addition to the lore. The Hellfire Club meeting at the Abbey, it went pretty much as it was written. The guys found what they needed to find in order to move forward. You know, it's a nice setting, a nice scene. For the characters to actually meet other members of the club, and the way I planned that meeting to work was so they will have access to a wider range of people if they needed to moving forward in the scenario. At the end, they didn't actually went to a lot of places, but you know, they didn't actually use their contacts that much. They were playing more solo mission, but that's okay. That's usually the way you play in these kind of games, right? You're against the world. The gardens was really nice. It was a really nice piece. I honestly thought that, like, things in the gardens were gonna end up a little bit different. The reason that they managed kind of avoid the trouble is because they split into different groups. So I needed to provide each one of the groups a different thing to work with, right? And when they found Pierce, I decided not to throw the Jezebels at them at that point and keep it for a different scene. They were kind of lost during the research in the scenario. One of the main reasons for that is because I threw those clues to players that you know were no longer playing with us at the end. So obviously the other players didn't remember about the clues that were dropped to others. So I needed to bring up those clues later on in the scenario. Like the follow up with Wiggs, there was a core clue, a key clue to understand what was happening with the Americans. It's something they didn't, even though they were showing up everywhere, and they were really trusty. Like, something that I played with Captain Jocks, that's Tony's character, was that he was guilty to provide the Americans with means of extracting guns to use in the revolution, right? I was planning to, you know, depending on how the scenario will turn out to end, to punish Captain Jocks, you know, for helping the Americans on doing that. But since they kind of sunk the ship in Bermuda, there was no need for that part. When they realized that the Americans were up to something strange, was on the second part of the scenario, which is okay, right? It actually worked pretty well. Because during the second scenario, they focused on that part. There was the other clue that I never included in the scenario, and, well, the other part of the plot that I decided to skip. That part is the scene described as French fancies in the scenario. That part is about the conspiracy of the Americans and the Chevalier d'Homme. You know, he had a disguise at Mademoiselle de Beaumont, and he or she was the one they were meeting in Greenwich. That clue came after they took the papers from Wakes, but it was too late already in the scenario, like, to go over Mademoiselle de Beaumont. So I kind of skipped that scene. I didn't kind of reinforce the fact that there was a French ambassador that was in league with the Americans, because they had left already, and at that moment they had also got into Racine's salon, and the next part of the game there was to follow the Americans to Bahama. So I kind of skipped all that scene and all that. You know, the clue that the Chevalier provided, and this duality with the Chevalier and Mademoiselle de Beaumont. I decided to skip it, since this is one of the clues that was provided to one of the other players. At the end, it's not a necessary scene, it's not a necessary clue that they need to follow. So all they needed to know is that the Americans were in league with someone from the French, and, you know, to get them suspicious to actually start the persecution out from England. That's when the character from Damme came in place really well. I didn't suggest that character to him. Given the experience with Dave, I told them, you know, create whatever character you want, and we'll play it, find a spot for him in the Hellfire Club, so it will be easier for you to jump into the scenario. He came up with the captain of Navy, and it worked out really well, because that allowed the team, you know, the players, to grab a military ship to take to Bermuda. And that changed the scenario completely as well, right? Because if they had come there to Bermuda in one of their ships, or one of the ships that they had access to, not in the name of the crown, but just as a fellow British man arriving to Bermuda, the scenario will have bring different options, I mean, different situations for the players. Since they arrived on a warship provided by the crown, that worked really well in the way that it provided them with more power in order to move around Bermuda. That pretty much summarizes the scenario, and so I'm going to go with the theme that I added there, that is Sarah's pregnancy. When Jim decided to take Sarah by herself to the Madame's regime, for me it was pretty obvious that she was going to die there, right? She was going to die that night. So I took the decision not to kill her, allowing Jim to, you know, continue playing this character through the end of the scenario with kind of a punishment. It's not a punishment, right? You don't punish your players. But since I didn't want to kill her, I gave her something else so I could work with, right? And that's the pregnancy that was dormant until they arrived to Bermuda. Behind the scenes, when they break into Racine's salon, Racine left for France. I decided to do it like this because the Americans had left already with two of the Jezebels, and having Racine out of the picture was going to give them something else to focus on, because other than that, the other thing that Racine was going to be useful for was so they will break in again and try to kill her eventually. So I made her leave England, leave for France, and let the disease of Jarnac spread with the two women that she sent along with the Americans. So by creating a different burden for Sarah instead of death, when Sarah arrived to Bermuda, given the presence of Jarnac there, that was already in Wilcox, I'm sorry, I decided that that was the moment when I wanted the pregnancy to actually burst again, right? It's not that she was not pregnant while she was in England, but the whole pregnancy thing was dormant until the presence of Jarnac was really strong. And that's what happened when they finally arrived to Bermuda. That's the main reason why she had the dream once they got there, why it started to be obvious she was pregnant once they arrived there, and why at the end she had like a seed of Jarnac. Again, that's a part that I added to the scenario. I think that's going to be more interesting for the players to play with instead of having Sarah dying at Racine's and playing another character, right? So that was my call. It kind of took away the protagonism from Wilcox in the final scene, but the damage that Wilcox needed to do, he did it just by staying in Bahama, right? Therefore, providing a presence, a strong presence of young Lack for Sarah to kick off with the pregnancy. And that's the end of the scenario. For me, it worked out really well. I wanted to see what Dan's character was going to do with Captain Jocks, Tony's character, to see if he was going to arresting or not. I wanted to give him the option, right? Because at some point I decided to kind of enforce it, since duty was his drive. But at the end, I decided that it was going to be his call, right? Duty towards the Empire, or duty towards the friendship and his comrades. In the end, he decided to choose to save Captain Jocks. I think it was a good closure. I hope the guys enjoyed the scenario as much as I did. And let's see what we'll be playing next. That's all for me. I hope if you have any questions about the scenario or anything else, just drop me a line on YSDC in our forums or in the forums we are holding in the Miskatonic University podcast site. So you can drop on any of those three places any questions, and I will try to answer those. Thank you guys for listening, and hear you next week. Bye.
So thank you for that, sir. I appreciate it. Some good notes there. I hope everyone else enjoyed Randall's take on the Hellfire scenario as well. I certainly enjoyed playing it. I really got into the character there, even though she was a pre-gen. She just felt natural, so it worked out well, I think. That's about it for now. Keep subscribed, keep watching the website, keep watching the forums. Hopefully we'll have some new content for you within a few weeks. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.